On behalf of the Kolff family and the church family, we welcome you to this service and we thank you for coming. We begin with the Word of God from the pen of King David, Psalm 103. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning as our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Lead us to put our trust entirely in you. We come to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Savior, who died for our sins and rose again. Grant us through his precious blood peace and pardon and joy in the Holy Spirit. And seeing that we have in Christ a high priest who can be touched, the feeling of our infirmities, may we come now boldly to your throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in this time of need. In the strong name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please remain seated. We'll turn to hymn number 731. It's called the Doxology. You may know this one. It means an expression of praise to God. If you're following along the music or the words, it's hymn number 731, the Doxology. That's a really good start. We start by praising our God. He's given us his word. And then we turn the hymn book to number 455. Please take a hymn book near you. 455. Listen to the words as we sing together. And can it be that I should gain?
Thank you.
and hear our words of hope from our great God through the Old Testament scriptures, Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We now enjoy an instrumental solo by Alan Sharon's granddaughter, Allie Kolf. And if you'd like to follow along some of the extra verses and so on, I'm sure you know part of it. It's number 460 in your hymnal, Amazing Grace, Allie. Thank you, Ellie. We turn to the New Testament for our words of hope now, first from Ephesians and then from the book of Hebrews chapter 12. So Ephesians 2, starting with verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Then over to Hebrews, the first two verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now going down to verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose word made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That's Hebrews 12, God's word. And now we receive comfort from the fact that this high and exalted God also comes near and shows tender care for us. If you want to follow along, the words of this song are in the hymnal 618, His Eye is on the Sparrow, as sung as a solo by Janet Van Est. Janet. Thank you, Janet. After I lead in prayer for a moment, I'll signal you to join with me in prayer using the words of the Lord's Prayer. And I know we come from various churches and traditions, so unapologetically, as a Presbyterian, I have debts before the Lord. So we say debts and debtors. We're going back to the old King James Version, so you can follow and pray with us. Let's pray. Lord and Father, how we thank you for the precious promise of your word. We praise you for the light of the gospel. We acknowledge your sovereign will today, your infinite compassion. Be pleased, therefore, to look upon us in our time of loss and sorrow. And for the sake of your dear Son, enable us, despite the situation, to hear from your holy word, so that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we may have hope. Grant us now the consolation of your own Holy Spirit. And may we hold fast our confidence in your forgiving mercy and the blessed assurance of eternal life through him who bore our sins in his own body on the tree and rose from the dead and is exalted at your right hand, even Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, the immediate family, the three children of Al and Sharon, will provide remembrances. Angela, then Andrea, then Christopher.
I had two wishes for the end of his life. For many years, even before we knew about the cancer, he would tell people, I want to wear out, not rust out, and I need to finish well. In his last month, Papa was at home, and I had the honor of helping care for him. All my life, he loved to give, and he wasn't always very good at receiving from others. But this time, Dad accepted our service with only a few complaints that we were spoiling him. That made it an even bigger honor and a blessing. Part of my new role as helper alongside Mom was to ensure that Dad got everything he needed, including enough rest, so I couldn't wear him out. Don't worry, though. I did more than enough of that, more than I should have over the years. Sorry, Papa. But to all of you who visited and called, texted and emailed, sent cards and gifts, or who were prayed for by my dad, thank you. In his last days, you gave him an outlet for his heart and his life's work. You helped him wear out, and you helped him finish well. Sincerely, thank you. And to borrow some words from the end of every visit, phone call, and voicemail that I had with my papa, I hope you have a great day. God bless.
Blessed to have the dad that I did, and I have so many memories with him. One of my visits with Dad, it was just him and I in the room. He woke up, turned his head, and said, I love you. You know that, right? I said, yes, I do, Dad, and I love you too. He rolled back over and went back to sleep. He wanted me to know that he loved me. He showed all of us how much he loved each and every one of us every day. There are times he never left my side, like when I was in the hospital a few years ago for my AFib, or just a couple of years ago when I had to go to the ER to be sure I did not have PE. My sister was going to take me, but my dad said, no, I'm taking her. He was by my side that whole afternoon. I got to say goodbye to my dad Saturday on the phone. I told him that I loved him. This wasn't fair, and I was going to miss him. But he could let go. Just remember that I love you so, so much. I'm sad that my dad had to go, but I'm glad that he is not suffering or in any more pain and can finally rest in the arms of Jesus.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the people gathered here. Thank you for the servant that you provided. Pray that your message would be heard here by everyone that needs it. In your name we pray. Amen. I had a speech prepared for today. I wrote it. It's one of my better ones. Gladly share it later. This isn't that speech. I'd like everyone to take a moment. Remember the fondest memory of my father that you have. His kindness, his love, his giving. Hold that memory. My father was an alcoholic. It was a large mess that came with that. He didn't speak of it often, but when he did, he wouldn't mince words. He knew what he was. The Lord saved him from that. The greatest testament my father bears in this world is his life. He bore witness to the absolute change the Lord could work in someone's life. Very few people knew that man. He didn't speak of it because that wasn't the Lord's work through him. He worked in more ways than any of us will ever be able to count. Think fondly of my father. Remember him. But don't mix the story up. His is a tale of brokenness and redemption. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. His dad would so often conclude, as Angela pointed out, God bless.
I want to share with you what Al would want to say if he were here standing. So imagine him speaking. I'm not good at impersonations, so I hope you have good imaginations. Many of you already know what I'm about to say. This is Al speaking to you. I was not always the person that you knew in recent years, but I was rescued and redeemed by Jesus Christ and the transforming power of his word and his spirit. If God could save and love a wretch like me, he can do it for anyone. Paul said it best, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. I worked hard, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. That's from 1 Corinthians 15:10. Please make the time to read all of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, for yourself in the next days. It will bless and comfort you. As a matter of fact, try to make time each day to read God's word. It has the power to transform lives. Thank you for your love and your support for my family as they grieve, but not as those who have no hope. We will all stand together someday and praise the Lord hand in hand for all eternity. May God bless.
You have an insert in your bulletin there. This is the time for that. We'll sing a favorite hymn of the family. First of all, on behalf of Sharon, Angela, Andrea, Christopher, Jessica, and Lauren, and the rest of the family, allow me to express to all of you, as they've already done, how the family thanks you for your kindness during this difficult extended time. Your prayers and your support have been a great comfort, and your presence here this day is greatly appreciated. We just read one verse for the message today. For all of us who are grieving, this verse provides comfort, and this verse also points all of us to Christ. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's a good reason why this is one of the best known and most loved verses of the Bible. It's because the topic of this verse is the degree to which and the manner in which God loves us. When Al talked with people in prison ministry, when Al talked with small children in his ministry, when Al wanted to present any ministry to anyone, he would present the most important thing. Al had a way of simplifying and honing it all down to the main thing. He kept the main thing the main thing. And so the idea of the family is that we focus on that now. That this is the verse that best expresses the Bible's core message of the gospel. What is the aim of God's love? What is the purpose of God's love? To save. As the next verse, John 3:17, goes on to say, God's aim was not to condemn, but to save. The purpose of God's love is to give us eternal life. all people want to know whether God loves us. And that question is answered in this verse. God loves us. He loves us a lot. God loves us to an infinite degree. He loves us, we could say it this way, in a transcendently glorious manner. The verse begins, "For God so loved." And the first word in the original is "thus" or "in this way." So we could say, "In this way God loved." God loved like so. God loved like this. God loved in this manner. And what is that manner? That God gave his only son. It refers to, incredibly, it refers to at the same time both Christmas and Good Friday. Both the coming of Jesus to the manger and the coming of Jesus to the cross. At the same moment in saying that God gave his son. It refers to his birth and to his death at the same time. That the first Christmas in Bethlehem, God the Father gave us his only son. And then some 30 years later at Calvary, God the Father gave his only son unto death. And so when we read in this verse that God gave his only son, we take both events, both the birth of Jesus at Christmas and the death of Jesus on Good Friday, as one great big central fact. This is how much God loves us. He gave his only son. It's so simple. It's just a few verses. It's a summary. It's a boiled down version of what the Bible teaches. It's the way in which God loved us. It's a love in a manner that is rich and true, a love that is full of majesty and wonder, and yet full of tenderness and compassion, reaching in to the darkest prisons and the darkest hearts, reaching down to the smallest child with eyes of wonder. The verse tells us whom God loves. Is it only good people? No. Is it only the Jews? No. God loved the world, all nations. The reference here, of course, is not to the trees and the birds when he says world, but it's to the people of the world, to all mankind, all of the people. God loves everyone. Don't worry, it's reformed. It's right there in the Bible. It's biblical. Therefore, it's reformed, right, to say this way, that God loves all the people of the world who are filled with sin. I'll prove it to you. Well, I need to back this up with certain of you. So God gave everyone in the whole world a sunrise today. God gave everyone in the whole world air to breathe today. God keeps our hearts beating. He keeps our eyes blinking. We're alive by God's love and care and all the different things that we enjoy throughout the day are gifts from God. Is that not love and care? And in this way, he loves and cares for everyone in the world. But what about sin? In his love, God looks and sees the damage that we made of the world. The things that we do in our sin and the damage that it causes, the ruin, the destruction, the pain. And God hates sin. God has plans to destroy our sin. And our verse says that God loves the world, but then our verse also says there are people who will perish. So how do you square those two? That he loves the world, and yet there are people who will perish. What is it that distinguishes between the people who are going to perish from the people who are not going to perish? Is it the amount of sin in the sinner? Or is it the type of sin in the sinner? Just don't do it that long. Just don't do that much. Don't do that. And if you do that, then it's a different category. Is that how it's? Is it how much foolishness is in the fool? Does God have a certain tolerance level? And once we reach that breaking point, you made God really mad this time. Then you're in a different category. Is that how it works? You're added then to the list of those who will be perishing. Listen, we don't have to guess. We don't have to guess. God literally wrote it down in black and white for us in one verse. Here it is. Whoever believes in him should not perish. Listen, all of us are sinners. All of us have foolishness. And to borrow a word from Al, buffoonery. All of us, see, the best of us and the worst of us have the same problem. And the problem is that we would perish under God's righteous judgment. It would be valid and proper for God to destroy all of us because of our crimes of sin against God. And God needs to destroy the sinner with the sin. This is how so many people get it wrong. People think there's a way to separate the sin from the sinner. If only there were a way to separate the sinner from his sin, to separate the fool from his foolishness, or how Al might say it, if there's only a way to separate the buffoon from his buffoonery. And here's the good news, that the best and worst of us all have this opportunity. We have the opportunity to believe in God's Son and have all of our sins, whatever length of time, whatever duration, whatever heights you went to, whatever variety of sins, whatever darkness, the darkest moment of our sins and wrongs, we have all of our sins and all of our foolishness and all of our buffoonery placed upon Jesus, whom God gave his only Son, Jesus. And actually, in that way, the sinner is separated from his sins. The buffoon is separated from his buffoonery. The fool is separated from his foolishness. This is a free offer of God for everyone. That we who study the Bible a lot understand that salvation is up to God, that God chooses. Yes, we got that. We know that. Yes. But this verse also says to us that God loves. In an unabashed, unqualified way that God says he loves the world. It's there. And so he presents a real offer to you right now. Here is an open invitation to you from God. It's right there in his word. When we believe in Jesus, then the cross was God's judgment for us. And all we get is God's love. Essentially, we're trading places with Jesus. We call it the great exchange. That Jesus takes our place and therefore gets the punishment for our sins on the cross. And we get the love of God for his only Son, Jesus. So we get what Jesus would have had. He gets what we would have had. So God loves us now as children of God, as if we were his only Son. He loves us as he loves Jesus. We get the love of God the Father without the wrath of God. We get to live forever. God made a way to separate the sin from the sinner. God made a way to separate the fool from his or her foolishness. God made a way to separate the buffoon from his buffoonery. It's right here, one simple verse. What's the aim of God's love? To separate the buffoon from his buffoonery. And what's at stake? The aim of God's love and what's at stake is where you're going next. Where you're going from here. How does it all end for you? What's after your funeral? That's what's at stake. The purpose of God's love is so that anyone who believes can be pardoned of all the wrongs we've ever done. Anyone who believes would not die by the sentence of law, but rather would live eternally. This adjective, everlasting, this adjective sometimes translated eternally, everlastingly, eternally, appears in the Gospel of John 17 times. Listen. Every single one of the times that it appears in the Gospel of John, every one of those 17 times, it appears next to the word life. Everlasting life. Eternal life. Read the book of John. It's in there 17 times. What is God saying to us? That eternal life is a life which is longer, of course. You get that from math class, that eternal is longer than the 74 years, for example, right? But it's a different quality of life. It's a completely different kind of life from the beginning of it. The moment we start to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he changes the very internal character of who we are as people. And we still live in this present age for a little bit, and then he takes us home. You could enter a whole new kind of life that never ends. Whoever believes, it says. It's a wide open offer right now. And the offer is not just for Jews. It's not just for people who've gone to school a lot. It's not just for people who do prison ministry. It's not just for people who do church a lot. It's not restricted for people who've never got arrested, never got drunk, never committed adultery, never swore, don't drink, don't smoke. It's not about that. It's no restriction. The offer is for anyone and everyone who's done all of those things. That's what surprised the man to whom Jesus was speaking. If you read the whole, I'm not going to take time now, but the whole chapter, Jesus is having an interview with a religious teacher. And the religious teacher really should have known. In fact, Jesus chastised him and said, "You're a teacher of Israel and you don't know?" And so Jesus then took the opportunity to teach him. And this is what we get. This teacher was surprised that even people who were not Jews, even people who had truly and totally messed up, could receive yet now the love of God. He was surprised. Surprise! Be surprised, O teacher of Israel. His name is Nicodemus. Be surprised, because this is the truth that Jesus taught. Here's what Jesus taught. God gave his only son. God gave his love. You need faith. Would God give you faith? He already sent his son. He already sent him for Christmas and then unto death for the purpose of his coming. Would God give you faith? Oh, yes. God would give you faith. Would you ask God to give you faith? Whoever has that faith, God will give eternal life. How about it? Ask God to give you faith. Al believed. He came to a moment where he asked God to give him faith. You know the result? I'll just read it to you. I'll just read it to you right out of the verse. I'll tell you the result. It's just this simple. God means what he says. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Al believed. Now he has everlasting life. Questions? I mean, that's exactly where it is. That's where it stands with Al. When Al fell asleep on Sunday afternoon, he ended his suffering for one thing. And then he awoke safe, everlastingly, in the arms of Christ's everlasting care and love. Because Al believed in Christ, Al's enjoying everlasting life. It's that simple. Put your faith in Christ alone. You can't save yourself. You can't lose your salvation once you get it. You can't earn the love of God. The aim of God's love is that you trust in Jesus Christ to live forever. It's what Christmas is all about. It's what Good Friday. This is larger than all of them. This is the core truth of the whole Bible. Trust in Jesus Christ and live forever. And by the way, tell everybody else the same good news. Let's sing together. I love to tell the story. Hymn 478. 478. like to ask you before we close, would you just pray for the Cole family, maybe through the rest of the year and as long as the Lord leads you to do so? Just continue to pray for them. And would you join with me right now to pray for the family as we close? Almighty and most merciful God, we come to you in prayer now, acknowledging your sovereign power and right both to give and to take away as seems good and right unto you. We remember all your mercies to us, your saving grace revealed to us in Christ, your Son and our Savior. We thank you for the mercy you granted through the excellent care that Al received through his wife Sharon, his family, and also by various doctors and nurses over these years, and the hospice caregivers more recently. All throughout his medical struggles, we thank you for your care for him. We thank you for sustaining Al during his time of extended suffering. We thank you that it's now over. We humbly pray for your bereaved folks here. We ask for Al's dear wife, Sharon, that she might have special strength at this time and going forward. We ask for his children, for Angela, Andrea, Christopher, Jessica, and Lauren, all to have your comfort in their loss. We uphold before you for your blessings, Al's grandchildren, Allie and Adeline. We request, Lord, your support in their grief for Al's siblings, Michael and Diane, Andrew and Vicky, and for his many nieces and nephews. We simply ask, Lord, your heavenly perspective in this loss for the rest of us, throughout the circles of the relatives and extended family, all friends and those he reached through school, through ministry, the church family, former students, partners in ministry, wider community of West Dallas and Milwaukee land. We just ask for your daily mercy for each one. May we all remember that you bring joy out of grief. You bring life from death through the power of the resurrection of your Son. Grant to those of us who remain grace to live our lives in faith and in loving service. Give us, we pray, perseverance to continue faithful until our end, following Christ our Lord, so that we may finally be received unto heaven through his vicarious sacrifice and with all your people to adore you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, our one God, world without end. Amen. Amen. Ask the funeral directors to